Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Race and Lanes with your hosts Rico Muhammad and Chuck Snow.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Race and Lanes podcast. I'm your host, Rico Muhammad. I'll be joined shortly by my co-host, Mr. Chuck Snow. Starting out this evening, as we normally do with the trend lines report, we have diesel fuel remaining relatively unchanged, dropped by 0.4 percentage points, so we're showing a national average of diesel fuel at $2.37 per gallon. As shippers continue to turn to the spot market to move freight, van and reefer rates keep rising as we head into the holiday season. Flatbed demand did slip, however. So with that being said, let's take a look and see how rates were performing over the previous week. And with dry vans, we start out in the northeastern portion of the United States. We're showing an outbound average for the dry vans at 205. Moving down to the mid-Atlantic and southeastern states, we're showing an outbound average of 225 per mile. Moving up to the Midwest, we're showing an outbound average for dry vans at 265. That leads the nation. Showing and coming out of the south central region of the United States, we're showing an average of 222. And coming out of the west coast for dry vans, we're showing an average of $2.63. Moving on over to the flatbed portion of the report, coming out of the northeastern portion of the United States, we're showing an outbound average of $2.19 per mile. Coming out of the southeastern portion of the United States, southeastern and mid-Atlantic, an average of 261. Moving up into the Midwest, we're showing an outbound spot market rate for flatbeds at 274. That leads the nation. Coming back down to the south central region of the United States, we're showing an outbound rate of 231. And coming out of the west coast, we're showing an outbound rate of 215. And moving over to the temperature control reefer portion of this report, coming out of the northeastern portion of the United States, we're showing an outbound average of 225. Moving down to the mid-Atlantic and southeastern portion of the United States, we're showing an outbound average of 222. Moving up into the Midwest, once again leading all across the country, the Midwest is the high market, sets the bar, rather, the highest rate across all three segment types, an outbound average of 304. Coming back down to the south central region, we're showing an outbound average spot market rate of 243. And coming out of the west coast, we're showing an outbound average of 272. And with that being said, let me grab my co-host, Mr. Chuck Snow. Chuck, good evening. How are you?
We're doing well. How are you, Rico?
I cannot complain at all. Very interesting subject that we want to try to broach tonight. I'm definitely all ears. I got some questions when it comes to what it is that we're going to get into tonight. So with that being said, I'm gonna let you take it away, and then we're gonna welcome in. I think we have Daryl with us.
Yeah, Daryl Rutherford should be joining us. Here's a guy that started an LTL business going from Toronto area out to the Pacific Northwest about 3-4 years ago. Now, he had been doing it as an owner-operator for a while, but he operated one truck. And I'm really proud to see what Daryl's done. I met him at at one of the CMC conventions that Kevin Rutherford puts on. And I had given a speech, and I was doing one-on-ones. And Daryl booked an extensive amount of time with me, and I was able to help him draft his business plan, which he has done. And he's done a fantastic job. And it's something that I think there's a lot of room for a lot of our listeners to look at, especially if the future goes the way it should be, according to plan, I think things may slow down a little bit just because this has been a great run for all of us, and you'll see more partial loads available. Daryl, are you on with us?
He is now.
Yeah, I'm here.
Good evening, Daryl.
I'm here, Chuck. How are you this evening?
We're good. Thank you for joining us. We always love having you join us because you are so full of boundless enthusiasm. And
I love
you.
You
love what you do. I love what I do, but I'll be honest, guys. I love what you do. I actually am really passionate about the partial load business. Now, we don't do nearly as much of it as we used to, and I'll tell the listeners why. The truth of the matter is, in order to run a partial load business, you need broker contacts and you need relationships with brokers. And in the explosive growth that we have had in the last 10 or 12 years in our brokerage department, with all the growth in brokerage, we've stepped on toes here and there. And there's a lot of brokers that see us as a threat and they won't load our trucks. So it doesn't work for us. But God, when we were doing it, we were kicking out 18 to 20 trucks on a Friday night going all over the place. I shouldn't say all over, but we had some routes especially that we were concentrating on. And what we want to talk about tonight is, and there's a big distinction in my world, and Daryl and Rico, you can agree or disagree, between the LTL world and the partial load world. The LTL world is the one and two small pallets that the players like YRC and Old Dominion do such a great job in moving, and Central Transport, and there's a whole bunch of other players in that market. What I'm talking about is the larger LTL shipments that a lot of shippers refer to as the orphan child of transportation, and that's the 15, 20,000-pound shipments that the traditional LTL carriers don't want because it just doesn't fit in with what they do, especially the ones that are running with pup trailers. It just, you know, even some of the ones operating with 53-foot trailers, it just uses up way too much room on that trailer for not enough revenue with their model. So the full load guys will take it, but they want to take it as a full load. So there's a lot of opportunity for our listeners to get into that part of the business. Now, I think that there's going to be a definite slowdown in the economy. It may happen right around Christmas, might happen a little bit after. And the good thing about the partial load business has been that when things slow down in truckload, people still need to ship. So now all of a sudden they're shipping 15,000 pounds or 20,000 pounds rather than 40,000 pounds. And that's where our listeners can really take advantage. Now, Daryl, you've been through all of this, and one of the issues that you have doing partial loads, you have to have a cartage set up on both ends because you can't be going around peddling loads and picking them up. It's just too expensive, especially if you're in a big metropolitan area, correct?
Correct.
So what have you been doing over at Duranco? I'm going to presume Portland and Seattle are your big cities, correct?
Portland and Seattle are our major cities. We do BC, we do Calgary, we do Edmonton. We actually start in Fargo on a Sunday. We've actually been able to develop excellent relationships, and we actually open up people's warehouses and deliver on the way out. And the partial load business, like you said, is great. My secret with partial load business is I actually compete with the YRC and XPO because I actually do a lot of one and two skid deliveries, which when you're doing the partial load business, you have to get those shipments, but there are shippers that can't ship the volume of weight to get a discount with YRC and XPO. So even though you're doing a partial, like you said, 5 skids, 8 skids, 10 skids, if you build the right relationships, you can get a lot of onesies and twosies that fit perfect. And I tell you, with as long as you have the right formula, your own rate set up, not try to play the spot market, because we don't do that at Drunko. We have our own rate set up. You can do phenomenal at the partial load business. But building a relationship with carriage companies in these metropolitan areas requires a lot of work. I'm actually getting on a plane tomorrow at 1 o'clock to fly to Seattle to meet a new gentleman, because the carriage company I have is falling down. And you have to be sure that when you set up with these carriage companies, which is easy to find if you're willing to do the hard work, you have to make sure your service level is there.
And that's why, again, you need the cartage company, because your driver can't go and deliver in a big city like Seattle and do, you know, you may get 3 deliveries off on a great day because traffic is so bad. Same as Atlanta, where Rico lives. Same as Toronto, where we live. You just can't count on it.
You can.
Unless the deliveries are all next to each other.
If you got a good driver, though, I remember back in my heyday when I was doing it back before ELDs, my best in Seattle was 23 deliveries in one day.
Whoa.
But you have to – so the trick is once again, you got to educate yourself. You have to understand traffic flow. Use all the tools available. My guys can still produce 8 to 10 deliveries a day because they pay attention to traffic flow, and we set ourselves up going the opposite way of traffic, and we even set our delivery appointments up that way. I'm really when I'm in the truck. Go ahead.
Right. Do you drop? So when you're loading at your yard here in Canada to go in Seattle, are you drop loading your shipments according to traffic flow?
No. So here's what we do. Part of our success is we load by weight. That's why we have the cartage companies starting in Montana, so we can go in, rearrange, we maximize weight, we maximize revenue. We always go to cartage company. We might make 1 or 2 deliveries ahead of time, but we go to the cartage company, it's worth the extra few dollars, we rearrange, and then we start our deliveries in Seattle. That way there, a driver can plan his trip and plan his deliveries according to the time he arrives and traffic.
Right. And what does it cost you? Like, if you have a half load that's got, let's say, 15 skids on it or something, what's the usual cost just to have it arranged? $50?
So I developed a really good – I'm very generous. I want to work with long-term relationships. I want everyone to make money. I have a deal set up that it's $65 an hour during the day. After 5 o'clock, if they're available, we charge $85 an hour. So you're usually looking about an hour and a half to unload a trailer and reload it.
Right. Okay. That's pretty reasonable considering, you know, how much revenue you can put on a truck. You know, when we started this conversation tonight, we used to do a lot of 1 and 2 skid orders. What we did find was with them, we couldn't get enough revenue on 1 or 2 skids to make it worth doing the pickup and the drop a lot of times. So that's where we started to look at basically a 5,000 pound minimum. And we don't charge for our listeners. And I don't know what you're doing at Durango with all your customers, Daryl, but what we always did, and we still do, we charge by the weight, or not by the weight, by the running foot or by the pallet. And I always look at a pallet as 2 running feet of a trailer.
With the minimum of a single pallet. So what we do is I found the formula to load my trailer. I want to load the whole 53-footer. So the first thing we do is we determine at 840 pounds per foot for the whole trailer.
Right.
That lets us maximize revenue.
Right.
We charge a minimum charge for 1 skid. But once it goes to 2 skids, we do 4 feet. And we always charge straight in.
Right.
And if you're good operator charging straight in at 48 inches, you know you're going to turn that pallet sideways because we have a carriage company that can change it. You save 8 inches, so you're maximizing you're getting 8 inches more profit. But by doing it the way Durenco does, sorry.
Go ahead.
By the 840 a foot and knowing the weight and having load bars and plywood, we can pack the truck front to back. I usually put at least 50 skids in a trailer. So we're actually taking almost two full loads out to Seattle. That's how you make the money. And then you have your cartage company doing the deliveries, the rearranging. But the real trick is understanding the weight per foot and how to judge that out. Like five skids, we automatically look at five skids. If it's under 8,400 pounds, okay, what can we add with that?
Right.
You know, it's and having that formula and being able to play Tetris.
Exactly. And that's
okay.
Go ahead, Rico.
I want to, because some of this, I think some of this for some people may be like hearing y'all talk in a foreign language. So I want to back up a little bit and maybe see if you guys can break this thing down as if you're talking to a three-year-old so that we can understand exactly. And another question, if it's LTL, you can pull that off with a drive-in, but that's probably a very hard thing to pull off with a reefer or something like that, because if it's food, a lot of times they don't want to have the cross contamination with the potential of another product with that product.
Yeah, exactly. If it's temperature controlled food, I strongly recommend not doing this. You can, but you got to be really careful. You could end up buying half a load of shrimp or something because you put shrimp on with tires. And the people that own the shrimp say, we're not going to receive that shrimp. And that's a tough business. Matter of fact, I had a very long conversation with one of the only companies in all United States that does what we're talking about with temperature-controlled freight, and that is Frozen Food Express. I had a long conversation with one of their salespeople today, and him and I seem to have hit it off. And, you know, they're a great company. That's exactly what they do, is they load different types of food, but they're only loading food. And they co-load it on the same trailer. They're able to load frozen, fresh, and ambient all on one trailer, because they've got that sort of a setup. But for most of us, I strongly recommend stick to dry freight. Even if you're hauling reefer freight one way, and then as a backhaul, do dry freight, especially if you're going to use a warehouse or a local cartage company where you're going to pick it up, nobody's going to know you're hauling it in the reefer. So you're not going to get any of the kickback that, you know, sometimes people complain.
Could I add one thing to that, Chuck?
Go ahead, please.
One thing I did find is you do have to watch your products, but one of my specialties is with my reefer is I use a mesh chute, and I spent $1,200 on doors that seal perfectly at any point in the trailer. So I can mix dry freight with frozen or fresh. Right. I only have one temp unit, but by buying those doors, which a lot of people don't know that they exist, by putting that partition up, you can actually have frozen shrimp in the front, and I can have peanut butter in the back.
Yep. That is available.
So that,
but it's just.
But you have to know what you're doing. I will add that. Like,
yeah.
You got to really know your stuff.
It's risky.
So going back again and talking about, because I want people to be able to understand. Explain to us the process of locating and building a relationship with and finding the correct partner when you talk about cartage companies. And what does that mean? Like, unpack all – can you help unpack that whole process?
Okay, so can I interject here for a sec, Bill? So what you do is and we're going to use you as an example, Rico, because you live in Atlanta. So you've got to go out and find a local company in Atlanta – that can pick up freight in Atlanta, whether it's like one skid or five skids or eight skids, bring it back to their dock and load Crescent Carrier's trailer, whether you keep it there or you drag it over when you're ready to load it. That's between you and them. And then what you want to do is have that same type of relationship with somebody on the other end in North Carolina, let's say in Charlotte, and you find a cartage company there that'll do the same thing. Now, when you get the large half loads, sometimes they can be expensive to load or unload. Maybe you want to do that one yourself. But anything other than that, you may very well want to have the cartage company do it for you. And because you can't do it the way Daryl and I grew up doing it, because you're not allowed the hours. You know, we used to just play with logbooks back in the old days. Those things can't be done anymore. So you've got to, you know, and the penalties, as we've talked about on the show, are pretty severe. So that's why you need to use a cartage company. And to get the freight, you have to go to brokers. You need their bandwidth on both ends. So, you know, if I was in your shoes, Rico, and I wanted to build an LTL lane between Charlotte and Atlanta, I would call every good broker on both ends and say, listen, I'm looking for partial loads up to 12 skids. 22,000 pounds to go from Charlotte to Atlanta or Atlanta to Charlotte. And I would also go to some of the large carriers, large LTL carriers, let them know you're available too, because they're always getting in trouble where they have too much freight for the truck that's destined to go out tonight and they're looking for a way of moving it. And I think you can have a great business. I think Daryl he's proof of it. It's not done to the extent in the USA that it's done in Canada for some reason. Maybe it's because we have less freight in Canada, so we've had to learn to be a lot more creative. But what we're talking about is very common. Go ahead, Daryl.
I think part of the reason in the US is the economy runs different, but even in Canada, people don't clue into certain secrets. Like my secret is I built lanes, and I remember the conversation we had at the CMC in Iowa. You asked me what happens if you only end up with three skids. I said, I guess I'm losing my shirt and I'm going with three skids. A lot of people aren't willing to do that. And that is what we had to do. I still remember one time I loaded up the one truck, Jeff, and I didn't even bring a load home when we first started. I come all the way back to Streeter, Illinois, picked up a load for $1,000, delivered it in Windsor, and our revenue on both trucks total was still $297 a mile. We made money, but we packed the one truck. People don't want to build, maybe I'm saying this the wrong way, they don't want to build a business. They're just looking for a quick buck. I decided to build a business. I build lanes. I perfect it. The other thing is people talk about brokers, and a lot of people say brokers are they're garbage. I don't like to use brokers. I actually like to use free salesmen because, you know, Traffix is a great example. We do a lot of work for Traffix. In my eyes, they're not a broker. They're my free sales guy. I don't care what you make. I have my rate. And a lot of guys are trying to get – I see it on the Facebook pages. Hey, I got $500 for two skids. Someone will say, well, you should have got 1,000. Don't worry about everybody else. Build your own rate to your own profit center and work it.
Yeah, I totally agree. Now, the formula, my secret sauce for rating was, and I'll just take it as an example, Toronto to Seattle. Let's just say the rate was $5,500 for the sake of an argument, okay? So for a half load, I would take $5,500 divided by two, okay? So you get $2,750, correct? And add 50%.
Correct.
And that was my formula. Everybody following me? So you take your full load price for a half load, you divide it by two, and you add 50 cents. Or at 50%, and that should give you the rate for a half load. And when you put two halves together, you usually have room for at least a couple skids to a quarter on the tail end or on top. And that's really the secret sauce. And you do the same with a quarter load.
What we do is we do it on a weekly average of 65. I take 6,500 and divide it by 53.
Okay.
And I get my rate per foot. And then I add 25% for the extra stop.
Okay.
That's breaking it down. So if you got one skid, one skid's a minimum one spot. You know, we can be anywhere, and I'll say it because it's at all. I'm anywhere from 300 to 375. You know, if a broker wants to pay 375, good. If he needs 300, we'll still move the skid for 300. When it gets into 4 feet, we go to the formula. So we know we've got our 65. Now, it's being able to put it together and do the extra work. And a lot of people, that's why a lot of carriers don't do partials, because it is a lot of work. It's a lot of fun work, though.
Oh, yeah.
If you're good at it.
Yeah. The thing
explain if you don't mind, if you can, go into detail about the extra work. I mean, that's kind of what I'm trying to. I want to try to get the whole process exposed.
Do you mind if I take this one, Chuck?
Go ahead, Rick. Go ahead, Daryl, please.
So the extra work means you have to be able to schedule your pickups. You need to tell your customer right off the bat, and you have to understand your geographic area. You pick an area. If it doesn't make sense to run from, say, where I am in Barrie to Brampton today when I've got a Scarborough and an Ajax, I'm upfront and honest with the sales guy right off the bat. Look, that's going to be Thursday or Friday. I'm in Scarborough, Ajax. When you only have one truck, once you start getting more trucks, you can divide a city up and service it every day, all day. There's a lot of work in planning where you're going to go, because if you try to run to Ajax and run to Milton and run to Oakville and run to Brampton, you might it'd be like running from Atlanta to
Over
Macon,
Atlanta.
Back to Atlanta.
Yes.
You know, it's not going to work. So you have to have some thought process about it and deal with brokers. And if a broker says, hey, that doesn't work for me, just say, okay, man, let me know if I can help you out. Where a lot of people get aggressive with them, you build relationships over time. So you got that work. Then you have to have somewhere to drop the freight, because that freight might need to go in the middle of the trailer, the back of the trailer, and you've picked it up. So I dealt with a company here in Ontario, Crossdock. I worked a deal with them where they actually did some pickups for me. We picked up. We dropped it on their dock until Friday. And then I had my load planned. You know, and you got to measure stuff. So you have a top and a bottom. You got to measure every skid. You got to know the weight. Then you got to put it in the trailer, which is a job in itself. I teach my guys, you know, new guys that come on that have no clue. Usually takes them about 3 months to learn the knowledge I have, because I had a lot of people teach me. Then you got to plan your trip out, and you still got to make the delivery when the customer wanted it. Now you have to replan the work out on the West Coast with your cartage company and make sure that they know that I'm dropping off A shipment, C shipment, E shipment. E has to deliver 9 o'clock in the morning. A has to deliver 4 o'clock 2 days later, or this is a rush. That's where the hard work and the planning comes into play. And a lot of people fail. They just load the trailer and go and see what happens. There's actually a lot of planning, thinking, you know, you're not just driving down the road listening to music. You're constantly looking at your bills thinking, I need to change these two around because it speed up delivery.
So do you keep a pallet jack on your trailer at all times in case you have to move something around?
No, it takes too much weight. What I did, I invested in a pallet puller for $87 from a U-Line. And a 50-foot chain. So as long as they have a forklift, I can pull the skids to the back of the trailer and they can take it off. Save weight and space.
Now, if somebody's running, like if you're running more regional, like from Atlanta up to Charlotte, you may want to invest in a pallet jack, because, you know, everybody gets into those situations where you're going into a place and they're on break, and it's three skids. But the real thing to do to be successful at this is to do as few deliveries or few small deliveries as possible yourself and have a cartage company do them. because you're going to be able to, even a city like Charlotte, which isn't huge, you still get traffic. Remember, a cartage company will have, and I don't know what you call cartage companies down there. We call them that up here. But they will have a multitude of trucks going all over Charlotte or all over Atlanta. So, you know, if you've got three skids going to the south end of town, it'll go on one truck. And if you've got five skids going, you know, 35 miles north, it'll go on another truck. So your customers are never going to get delayed. So there is a lot more planning.
It's definitely fascinating. It's definitely a fascinating conversation. Go ahead, Chuck.
Well, first of all, if any of our listeners have any questions on this, just press one. We'd love to hear from you. What I love about the partial load business is really the sky is the limit to what you can put on a trailer. When you're going from Atlanta up to Charlotte, on a great day, if you were a rock star, you know, what's the most you're going to get? $1,200 if somebody is really desperate, but you're not going to get that every day. You could probably put $1,500 on a truck every day of the week. The thing that people want with partial loads is they want to know that they can call you and that you service, you go from Atlanta to Charlotte Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and from Charlotte to Atlanta Tuesday and Thursday, or whatever you decide. And they want to be, they'll follow you. If they know that's your route, that's your days of departure. And then once you get good at it, you know, you put more trucks on the road, on that route.
That actually brings up a really good point, too, is you have to know what service level you're willing to offer. If you're going to try to do partial with expedited, that's a whole new game.
You got
Renko offers 3 to 5 day. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But we offer a 3 to 5 day deferred service. So pickup day doesn't count. Delivery day doesn't count. And weekends don't count on a 3 to 5 day deferred service. So it allows you to have more time to plan and to build your company to where you can get to the size where you can offer the expedited or the next day. You have to start with the right goal in mind before you get into it. Because if you try to do from Atlanta to Charlotte and you get a lot of expedited freight, you're going to get a really bad name real fast. So you need to be willing to explain to your customers. And that's where your whole business plan, once again, comes into play of understanding your rates, your amount of money. You know, you pay attention to what the market's doing so you know when you can get away with a rate adjustment. You know, just like all of us, we're here to make money, correct? But you have to make sure you specify your service.
Yes, and live up to it.
We got a listener with a question going to caller from the 904 area code. You're up live. How can we help?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
What's your question? What's your name and what's your question? How can we help?
My name is Michael. How are you?
Doing well,
good, Michael. How are you?
How can we help tonight?
Oh, I just called just to say hi to Daryl and Chuck. How are you guys?
We're good, buddy. How are you?
It's Mike. You know me. How's it going?
Oh, hi, Mike.
We're doing well. Thanks for calling.
I figured I'd listen tonight. You know, I listen usually, you know, after the fact, and I figured I'd call in and listen to the show, you know, and learn something.
And have you learned anything tonight about the partial load business? You've been doing it for a long time.
Yeah, I know. I have. But, you know, you always learn, right? You always learn.
That's right. So, exactly.
Yeah. But, you know, I deal with Daryl's company all the time. They do an amazing job. You know, and yeah,
thanks,
the LPL business, it's it takes some time to learn, that's for sure, right? And it's all about, especially on the brokerage end, it's all about the relationships that you make with carriers, and that's how you're going to, you know, make things happen. It's all about the relationships that you have, right? And you got to be fair with everybody.
That's right. Well said, Michael.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I just thought I'd call in and say hi.
Well, thanks for calling us. And I hope you're enjoying the show.
All right. Bye.
Thanks. Stay healthy.
Thanks.
Appreciate it, Mike. So, what are some of the criteria when we were talking about trying to find these hardest companies? What are some of the criteria that you need in order to vet the the company that you decide to work with?
You definitely want references. You want to make sure they have tailgate. You want to also make sure they got the right equipment to service your customers, because as everyone knows, a straight truck doesn't have the same height as a tractor trailer. So we actually got into an issue with the cartage company that was a great company, but they didn't have the equipment. They had a lot of 7,000-pound trucks with a height of 50 inches because they did home delivery. So I had to scramble and get a different company real quick. So you have to make sure you have the maximum opening that you can have on a straight truck, which is usually around 95 inches, pallet jack. Do they have the ability to do inside delivery? Do they have the ability to take garbage away? Because you limit yourself if you're not doing inside delivery, because there's a lot of store fixtures that go out to the West Coast and all over the place. And if you get a cartage company that can handle all your special requirements, it promotes your company better. And that's another thing. When you're actually talking to your salespeople, you have to make sure. I have a set question list for all my dispatchers. What are any special requirements? And even after we ask if there's any special requirements, is a tailgate needed? Is an appointment needed? Because you may get a company in a certain area that can't do appointments because they have other freight that they're delivering. So do we need straps? Do you need inside delivery? Is it driver assist or driver unload? Because you're going to charge more for that, because the cartage company is going to want to charge you more if the driver is doing the work compared to the receiver. You know, it is complicated, but if you just sit down and think of all your problems that you've ever experienced on a load, if you asked all those questions to the broker and all those questions to your cartage company, you'll be covered. If you get any no's or, you know, dead air, consider thinking about going to talk to someone else. Your cartage company has to be your support. We always tell our guys, the office is your support network. You have a problem, call us. My cartage companies are my support network, and they're actually agents. They identify as Drunko Specialized when they go in to deliver and pick up. So they're actually an agent of yours.
Well said. You know, I love the I love what you're doing with the questionnaire, because I have to tell you, it's so common. We found it with our fleet when we're taking work from brokers. So frequently, the person at the brokerage doesn't even know what they're hauling or what they're giving us to haul. So you're really holding them accountable when you say to them, okay, I'm going to ask you these 8 questions. Is it, is it hazardous? Is it flammable? Does it need an appointment? Is it temperature controlled, et cetera, et cetera? Do we need delivery appointments? Because so often with our LTL trucks, we would get to a dock and they would go, what are you doing here? You need an appointment here. And quite often, even if you go to call these places, you get voicemail. You know, that's been going on for years. So you really need the inside scoop so you know what you're dealing with. Because you don't want to, you know, in the old days, you would tie up a 53-foot trailer with 8 skids somewhere on the coast waiting for somebody to take it.
Yeah,
I don't want to do that.
That happens a lot.
That's where it's so important to have that communication. But you get paid for it.
That's right. Communication is better, too. I don't really try to hold the broker accountable. I actually look at it as holding Durenko accountable. I'm calling you to offer my service. I need to know the right questions to ask.
Right.
Because 100%. Maybe this broker is trying to help somebody and he doesn't know the questions to ask. So by me asking all my questions, I'm performing a better service to you, Chuck, at your company, because we do a fair bit with traffic. It's about being the best at what we do. And, you know, the simple thing like Larry Winget says, do what you said you're going to do, when you said you're going to do it, how you said you're going to do it.
100%.
It eliminates a lot of problems. Now, we actually have a policy. Email appointments, dispatch takes care of. Every one of our drivers, because everybody drives different, they are required to call their customers on a Monday and give them an ETA. If they, my policy is if you call in the morning at 9 o'clock West Coast time and you don't get a phone call back by noon, let your dispatcher know, your support team, then they contact the broker. And usually within 5 minutes, we have a person on the phone and we can talk to them. And we can, there's a lot of brokers that say, yeah, it's dock to dock. And then we find out that it's not a dock. It's a storefront. They don't have a forklift.
Right.
So now I'm on a Monday delivering for Wednesday. I can actually arrange for that be tailgate or driver assist, talk to the broker, talk to his customer before we're standing in front of the customer causing a problem. We show up knowing that we're hand bombing that load off. Our drivers walk in with a smile on their face. Where you want us to put it? You know, we all know what's going on. Obviously, there's more charges involved. But then the customer back here isn't upset because we did the due diligence. He forgot to ask the question. We come back to Monday and say, hey, we're delivering Wednesday. It's two old ladies. We're going to have to hand mom this off the truck and put it in their storage room. This is our charger. You okay with that? Or do you want us to get a courage company, which is our agent, to use a tailgate? And do you want to just leave it on the curb? Oh, no, man. I've had problems with this shipment for years. It's amazing. You're going to do this? Yes, we do this. And now we have repeat business because we're the one carrier that steps up above and does the full service.
Yeah, you're not leaving the broker in suspense. You're completing the task. And, you know, that's all it is. It's exactly give people what they want. They'll pay for it. They'll pay extra. Nobody's going to go and beat you down for $25 just for the sake of making $25. They're so happy to get good service on this partial load freight. It's not commoditized the way truckload is. That's the beauty of it.
It's funny. I got a small story to tell. Back when I first started doing LTL with the Coastals last year, first couple weeks, I actually went to a company called Fujifilm. They make ultrasounds.
Right. Yep.
Little girl there, and she couldn't unload the skids because they were too heavy. And I had the truck driver mentality back then. Well, I don't unload freight. I'm dock to the dock. I was total jerk about it, and I even apologized to her. It was about three trips after that. I needed a big favor because I had to get to an appointment at a certain time. We had to load her freight in front of it. I called her and said, is there any way I can come in early? Even though I'd been a jerk to her, and I was a jerk, I'll admit when I'm wrong, I asked her, she says, sure, you can come in, but you're going to have to unload it yourself. I got in there at 2 o'clock in the morning. The security guard let me in. I unloaded the freight myself, drove down, made my appointment. But on the way driving down to my appointment, I'm like, wow, am I ever being a jackass? I should treat this lady better. And that's what started my transformation from driver to fleet owner.
Yep. You know, you catch more flies with honey than you do vinegar. You know, and even when when you get to a dock and somebody's having a lousy day and they're a grouch, don't hook in. Keep, you know, be jovial. Don't say, oh, you're having a bad day, aren't you? That doesn't really help. Just be helpful. Anything I can do to help you? Do you want a coffee? Anything. Whatever you can do to make things better. I used to carry stuff in the truck, little giveaways. And some that had nothing to do with traffic. So I couldn't because I was hauling into some of the places for other brokers. But I would, you know, if I was going to the West Coast, I'd go and buy a bunch of little things of maple syrup or, or whatever, and just give it out to shippers that were working with me. Give them a couple little bottles of maple syrup. People will work with you.
100%. Attitude's everything.
Yeah. And you really need to work with people with partial loads. Now, it's not as it's not quite as intense now that we are using cartage companies to do the deliveries and pickups because they're dealing with the customer. So if you really had a totally smooth operation, the truck is driving dock to dock and the trailer is stripped and the truck is reloaded and out it goes to go back. I was talking to one of our other carriers today, and you probably know them, and I don't think I'm going to offend anybody by saying their name on the on the show, Peter over at Tricor Carriers. Do you know them at all?
They're a very class act. I don't know them personally. Yeah. I know of them. They're a really class act company.
They really are. These got beautiful equipment, and they service the Toronto-Dallas-Texas lane. That's it. And I haven't been to their Ontario, their Canadian facility. I've actually picked up freight at their Dallas facility. And, you know, it's a great facility. He runs a magnificent fleet of trucks. If I'm not mistaken, about 20 years ago, he always ran Big Long Nose Pete's and Kenworth's. And at that point, if I'm not mistaken, he was trading his trucks in once a year. Because that way he had no maintenance issues. Yeah. Now that's, that had every accountant in trucking puzzled. How is he doing this because of depreciation? But you know what? He's proven everybody that he knows how to run a trucking company. And, his drivers end up at their terminal in Dallas. They unload, they reload at the terminal, come right back to Canada. It's a real sweet operation. And there's no reason that our listeners can't be doing the same type of thing between two major cities in the U.S.
It's being able to build a lane and understand you may lose money for a while. That's the biggest problem I see with most of the drivers you talk to and owner-operators. If they lose money on one shipment, they go ballistic. I actually have Jeff Thorpe. He may be listening because I sent him the number. He had his own business. He's partnered up with me. Great operator. Love the man to death. He's one of the reasons why I've been so successful. He works his butt off. But when he was operating his own business, he got taken for $1,000.
Right.
And that immediately stopped him from dealing with small brokers. You have to realize in business you're going to lose money. That's why you have a safety net. That's why you put money away. That's why you save. To date, in the partial load business, we've had some bad brokers. We've had some people go bankrupt. But to date, in 5 years, I've lost $5,000. It's worked out to $1,000 a year. Now, one of the shipments were $4,000, and the other one was there was a couple other little ones. But I planned in my plan to lose money. Now, he stopped working with people and expanding and started working with the safe guys, which there was nothing wrong with what he did. But he wasn't prepared to lose money. And I don't think most people are prepared to lose money when they start being in the truck. They think it's going to be all money, heyday, and they get so upset. But you should have a percentage of your income set aside for bad debt. And understand, that's the business. Someone is going to go bankrupt. Not everybody is honest. Not everyone's going to treat you with the same respect. And that's where I think a lot of people that don't do partial is they're too worried about getting ripped off. Because I don't think anyone sits down and makes a business plan and thinks about what's going to happen if someone doesn't pay. Or what happens if you actually damage freight. I had a U.S. Customs run a piece of aluminum. There's no way I'm getting that money back. $937. You know what I did? Didn't even question it. Sent me an invoice, wrote a check, mailed it. Didn't even argue about it that it was customs, nothing. I wanted a happy customer.
I haul more of that freight, and I'm basically the number one supplier to the West Coast for grow-ups. Because, you know what, I just wrote the check. I didn't cry about it. I realized I was losing money. But you know what? Lose it this time, I'll make it tenfold down the road.
Yep. I totally agree. And the one thing that I love about the partial load business that we noticed years ago, we were doing an awful lot of it. Every time there was a bankruptcy, you never lost a whole lot of money. It's not like the truckload business where you can lose tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands. You're going to lose money, but, you know, they're $3,000 and $5,000 orders, which I'd rather lose, you know, I'd rather lose 2,000 than 20,000.
Yes.
And you can recover from it much easier as well. But it's just, 100%. It's really important. It is really important. If any of our listeners are thinking of doing this, they really have to pick a lane, and you can't deviate. You go from A to B and B to A. That's the only way this thing works to start with. You can't.
We got someone that's got a question.
Go ahead.
We got someone that's got a question. Caller from the 912 area code. You're up live.
Hey, I appreciate you guys taking my call. And this is a very interesting topic because that was something that I'm eventually get over into. But I'm going to ask you this. And, you know, I'm a firm believer that you under-promise something, but you over-deliver on the promise that you say you're going to be able to do. And I'm going to set up a scenario of you pick up a partial, you know, you pick up two partial, one delivers at 10, and then the other one delivers at 2 that afternoon. And you get all your information, you're told, hey, it's a quick, easy in and easy out. But then when you get to the 10 o'clock appointment, they tell you to back into the door, and you only have, what, 4 or 5 pallets to take off, but they take 5 and 6 hours, which is knocking you away from your next appointment. What do you do in an instance or in a situation like that?
Well, can I answer this one, Daryl? I'll tell you what I do, because we've lived this 100 times. Especially when there's another delivery appointment and they're acting like that, we will, after an hour, we allowed a maximum an hour for a partial load. But we called after an hour. We said, listen, we cannot afford to keep this driver here. If you don't take him off now, we have to pull out, and we're going to give it to a cartage company, and we have to charge it for redelivery. We're terribly sorry. But, you know, we've got other commitments. Cut and dry. It's not a full load. You didn't buy my whole truck. Don't treat it like you bought the whole thing. Daryl, what's your answer?
Pretty much same thing. I keep a fire hat in my office for problems like that. I stop being a truck driver and become a fireman. We let our broker know when we've arrived. If we start having a problem with LTL, if it's 5 pallets, you should be out there in 15 minutes. They'd have FedEx out there in 15 minutes. So, you know, 15 minutes, you have your driver call you in half an hour. At a half an hour, I call the broker or the customer and decide that they're over their time. We will wait, but the waiting time is starting. And we have a set rate for waiting time. And we know our problem customers, and we charge $100 an hour. Not negotiable. If you don't have our truck out of there, we followed your rules. We're respecting your operation. And I always tell them, I'm following your rules. Respecting the way you do business, please just show me the same respect back. If they hold me, we've already been on the phone to our next customer and telling them that we're getting held up. We'll contact them as soon as we know we're not going to make it. And if we have to reschedule, and we sit there and we let the clock tick and we bill them.
Oh,
next time you go back, you usually don't have that problem.
Okay. That's
never
easy
lose your
enough.
Cool.
No. There's no sense. But you can't wait. You know, and it's funny. The smaller the shipment, the longer it takes to get till they get you unloaded.
The other thing is, too, your driver's got to be creative. and go into the shipper and say, hey, man, you must be busy and swamped because I'm sitting here forever. You got a pallet jack? I'll pull it off, help you out, you know, whatever. And I've actually unloaded another truck for a shipper to get my truck unloaded because he's like, oh, I got to check these off. This guy was here before you. Well, you need my help? I don't care. At that moment, my guys average for every minute they're on the road, take home, they average $33.58 an hour from midnight Thursday night to midnight Tuesday night. Okay? So like I told them, if you're sitting in the dock doing nothing and you need to help a shipper and he's having a problem, he'll remember you. Make the problem shipper your friend. Go in and unload the truck yourself. Unload another truck. Help him. If he's stacking a pallet, you're getting paid anyways. And the other thing is, when you help someone, now you've really started a relationship because he's used to drivers coming in saying, get me out of here, blah, 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 blah. You're coming in saying, hey, man, do you need a hand? Can I help you? What can I do to make your day better?
Well, I know 100%. I run into that problem. I ran into that problem. You know, of course, I only had like three pallets, and I went in and I asked, hey, you know, I understand you got a lot going on. I'll unload it myself and, you know, and be done. But for some docks, it's like, you know, we can't let you on the dock because of insurance purposes and all. And, you know, you just have to wait in your truck. And I guess because, you know, it was an LTL load, but at the same time, you know, by it being a single operation, you know, it was frustrating. Needless to say, I missed my pre-plan behind that, but I was just wondering about that.
Do you not have a disability insurance and a coverage to cover that? Like, all my guys have coverage external. As long as they're at work and even at home, they're covered. We actually have – we use a company called NAL. It's occupational insurance, so if they get hurt – and I'll fax the information, and all my guys have a card in their pocket saying they're covered by insurance. We can come on your dock. We have our own insurance.
Oh, well, I had never really thought about that. You know, they just have some guys that are just so adamant about you're not coming on my dock. So,
companies, you know what, some of the companies are just terrified of litigation if somebody gets hurt on their dock. So, and also because of security, you know, if you have a company that's got high value goods, some of them have made rules, some food companies as well. They don't want anybody on the dock, obviously, because they're worried about contamination. So you kind of have to get a feel of what the shipper or the receiver is all about. If it's just a public warehouse, then you shouldn't have an issue.
So I'm looking at the clock.
And that's
you're
also, too, sorry.
Go ahead, Darryl.
Go ahead, sir.
No, go ahead. You were speaking.
I was going to say, the other thing was when I said about bad debt and bad, you have to plan for those. You're going to miss maybe a back call. But there's a reason that you missed that back call. Everything happens for a reason. Just like when you go to look for freight, my real secret for my success at West Air is I've listened to the guys, and he had 22 trucks at one time, all whining about freight. I truly believe there's more than enough out there for all of us. You have to have certain beliefs when you go in. If you walk in the door looking in a hurry, you're putting off a certain persona. And if you missed a great back call, it happens, but there is a reason why you missed it. Might have kept you out of an accident, may have turned into a nightmare. That's what you have to plan for sometimes. Contingency plans are very important in this business to understand everything happens for a reason. And if it's a negative, turn it into a positive.
I'm looking at the clock. We're getting ready to run out of time. So if people wanted to get in contact with you, Darryl, how do they do that? And then, Chuck, you go ahead and wrap up.
You can give me a call at my office at 705 214 9659, extension 101. You can email me at Daryl, D-A-R-R-Y-L, at Darunco Specialized, which is spelled DarunCoSpecialized.com. And we also have a Facebook page. Instant message me on Facebook. I'd be more than happy to help someone that wants to get started and share my secrets with them, because I, too, like Chuck, want to give back to the industry. It's great people involved.
Thanks. I appreciate you coming
on. All
right,
Daryl. We appreciate it. Thank you.
And
thanks for coming on.
Anybody
Chuck.
Wants to contact me? Yeah, you can give me a call at extension 203, and the phone number is 800-388-4352, again, extension 203, or you can email me, Chuck at traffix.com, or you can just send me a private message on Instagram, Chuck Snow CEO. And with that, I want to thank Daryl again for joining us and our listeners. You too, Rico. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, guys. I really love being on the show.
Well, we love having you, man.
Thank you for coming. Thanks for coming on. God willing, not quite sure what we got lined up for next week just yet, but we'll put out a blurb here in the coming days. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. You could have been anywhere else in the world, but it took a few minutes to spend some time with us, and we greatly appreciate it. And with that being said, I want to say God bless you, good night, and keep it in between the mustard and the mayonnaise.
Catch you on the flip-flop.
Take care.